This is Tony Topping. You're listening to Off Planet Radio.
This is Off Planet Radio.
There are things that I know, but there are things that I do not. Various possible futures are happening simultaneously. I can tell you all of them, but I cannot tell you which one of them will come to pass, because every action causes ripples, consequences both obvious and unforeseen.
Well, good evening and welcome to Off Planet Radio Live. We had a power glitch here in the background. I don't know if you can hear it. We've got major storms passing over right now. Lightning, thunder, and a lot of rain coming down, as there has been off and on over this very, very strange summer weather that we've had. Welcome you to the show. It's August the 7th, 2013. And like everything else in this world, guests are subject to change without notice. Our guest for tonight, Ken Pfeiffer, unfortunately had to cancel out at the last minute due to a family situation. So here's what we're going to do. Chris Holly's off tonight. She'll be back next week. Our guest next week, at least scheduled so far, is Richard Parnasano from the Searcher Group. We're going to talk about ghosts and apparitions and stalking the supernatural things, a little bit of a diversion from the UFO topics. And so that's coming up as well. August 21st, the Billy Booth UFO casebook will be here. And August 28th, Donald Schmidt and Tom Carey, The Secret History of Wright Patterson, The Real Story of Roswell. What really went on? I've been to Wright Patterson Air Force Base. It's in Dayton, Ohio, where my brother used to live. And it's, it's a pretty creepy town overall. Sorry, if you live in Dayton, it's a beautiful city, but you got a lot of spooks there. So Ken will not be here tonight. And what I've decided to do is to run a show that I recorded on Monday with Jeff Harvey. And Jeff will explain his background. He has a background in naval intelligence, and he currently works in the realms of developing new healing technology based on healing holograms. And he's going to explain all that. And I think Jeff's actually online on the chat right now. So we're going to run that without too much further ado, except to say that we're just at this very interesting time and place right now. I don't know how many of you sense what has been shifting over the last 6 months. Definitely in a different place. So without further ado, my guest tonight, Jeff Harvey. This is a private session which was recorded this Monday, and we're going to launch right into it, into my system. Here we go. Welcome once again to Off Planet Radio Live. I'm Randy Moggins. We are doing what we call private sessions, and this is a time when we record people in studio as opposed to the live show. The live show airs Wednesday nights, 9 to 11 p.m., and those shows can be heard at offplanetradio.net live over our own streaming system. And today my guest comes to me from almost my backyard. He is in Pennsylvania near the city of Scranton, and his background is very interesting. He spent, I believe, 6 years in naval intelligence. He was stationed aboard the USS John F. Kennedy. And today, through many years of trials and tribulations, he is working in the area of technology and healing arts. And we're going to talk more about that as we go through the interview tonight. We welcomed Off Planet Radio, Jeff Harvey. Jeff, welcome.
My pleasure. Good to be with you, Randy.
Excellent to finally get you on. We've been talking in the background a little bit, and you've brought a lot of information out. And for this interview, because there are a lot of interviews online with you, I think we'll not spend a lot of time on your distant past, but focus on what you're doing so far. But to inform the interview, maybe a little bit of your background. I know, and I've heard you discuss this, that as a child you had some unusual experiences, and also that from a very early age you knew, and I believe you used those exact words, that you would be in the naval service. Can you talk a little bit about that, Jeff?
Sure. When I was, I don't know, somewhere around 5-6 years old, the first thing that happened, my dad, he was working construction. Prior to that, he had been working at Sikorsky Helicopter, and he moved back into our area to be with my mom. And so he was working in the construction industry, and he'd get up at real early hours, 5, 6 a.m., and get all prepped up and head out the door. Well, you know, as a young kid, you want to be like Pop, so you want to get up at the same time and see him off to the door and all that fun stuff. Well, I said to him, Dad, I need an alarm clock. And he said, no, son, you don't need an alarm clock. And I go, why? I want to get up when you get up. He goes, then all you need to do is set the time in your head when you go to sleep. Just picture it in your mind, and you'll get up within a few minutes of that. And I had no idea how this stuff worked. I'm a little child. But I did what my dad said. And lo and behold, it was just like setting a timer on your computer. It was that accurate. We're talking within seconds. So I used that the rest of my life. I haven't had an alarm clock since that. Or if I did, it was just to play music. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting because after that, there were several other exercises he taught me that opened up areas of my brain that normally would have taken years to play with or open up. Some were mind over matter exercises, stiffening and tensing muscles, and being able to lock and unlock areas of the body and ignore all kinds of discomfort. In other words, you could take me and stiffen me up on the floor, and then two people would pick me up. One would set my neck on the end of a chair and my heels on the end of another chair, just like a board. And that's the way it would be for very long periods of time. And that kind of training allows your mind to get into meditative states, altered states that cause all kinds of things to happen. So that was interesting because as I had gone through life, later on in high school, I developed some other talents, very interesting ones. Basically, remote influencing and things of that nature. Uh-huh. And what happened was, is I was in my senior year of high school, and I knew I was going to be an operative. I didn't know if it was in the Navy or what, but I knew I was going to be an operative. And so I made sure my yearbook picture wasn't in there, depending on what my assignments might be. So basically what happened was, is I decided to join the Navy and do a little traveling. So I did. And when I got in there, I quickly found out that I was not the kind of guy that enjoyed authority figures. So when they had me drop down and do 20, you know, I said, fine, now I can do that all day. And the guy said, okay, great, let's do that. I said, no, you get down there and do it with me and see which one of us lasts longest. Well, he did, and I whipped his ass because basically I had spent the last 2 years running across span bridges in the middle of the night, climbing up and down poles to islands and things of that nature, and I was able to do 75 push-ups in a row and then immediately after 300 sit-ups. So I was ready for these guys. So when I did that and I whipped them, they didn't have a lot of choice, and they made me a squad leader. And I led by example. Whatever it was, I did exactly what they, you know, they said. And if it was a grungy duty like picking out the crap out of a drain, before I'd assign somebody to do it, I would demonstrate it first, showing that I'm willing to do everything I say to do. So my guys were quite faithful. So when graduation time came, we arranged a little display, which was quite interesting, for the grandstands. So you can imagine the grandstands, and we're talking about hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of guys in squads marching past them in review. And you've got your admirals, your captains, your senators, your congressmen, your media, the wives and families. And as we go by, what we're normally supposed to do is turn our heads towards them and salute. Well, we did that, but we added a little extra inflection, which basically was we did an adjustment. And there was unbelievable gasps went through the grandstands, then laughter, and then afterwards, you know, they tried to tell us they weren't going to let us graduate and all kinds of fun stuff. But what happened from that was is a group of men realized that I had very little respect for authority, and I was willing to go the extra mile to prove it. And so they said, well, this is a good guy to be an operative. So they inducted me into a very, very secret watcher group that basically had infiltrated a lot of the military posts and installations and governments worldwide, because they knew that the Jesuit New World Order had basically taken over these organizations and created quite the octopus of organizations controlling it all. So it no longer has anything to do with our government. It's we're just puppets that in our government that basically control us. It's the folk out there that do.
Now, you say that you were in part of a watcher group. I'm assuming that your upper command were, for using simple terms, these were the good guys as opposed to what we would call the New World Order types.
Correct. In other words, most people would call them white hats.
Okay.
These guys were in all the organizations, including some of the New World Order organizations, as infiltrators. And that was my job. I was an unhandled operative, so I had no one to be responsible to.
So inside of our own military, we basically have a bifurcated structure of command. Is that a fair assessment?
It's much more subtle than that. It appears to be very cohesive on the surface.
Right.
When you get down below, you realize that you're part of an organization that is somewhat bifurcated, but only to the extent that they want you to see it. And they don't want you to see anything. They want you to believe all the red, white, and blue glory nonsense that, you know, they sell them in the recruiting offices. When in fact, the militaries are the enforcement arm of the global elite so that they can actually do nation building and empire building.
Yeah, that's been my assessment as well. After doing radio for over 10 years now and talking to a wide spectrum of people, many of whom are ex-military, you know, I came to the sad conclusion that what I thought and what I knew about our nation and about our military were myths that were fed to us to maintain status quo. And that you talk about a dark night of the soul, boy, that's the big one to swallow, isn't it, Jeff?
It's difficult because you grow up believing all of this pablum that you're fed when you're a youngster. You know, and it starts out at preschool now. They're working on these children at pre-kindergarten levels. They're doing mind control programming in pre-kindergarten classes. They're teaching one set of books, one set of history that has nothing to do with history. And basically, they're trying to make sure that by the time you hit the first grade, you're so well indoctrinated you would never question anything. Then by the time you hit high school and you're of the age when you do question, if they've done their programming well enough, you simply aren't going to be questioning much at all. You're going to be pumped out as a semi-ignorant drone, ready for the workforce in the military or ready for a low-level workforce in industry. And that's pretty much it.
You touched on something there, and it has to do with mind control, basically. And I know you're aware of all the government black ops programs that have been going on. As nearly as I can tell, they've been going on since the late 40s through the 1970s, to my knowledge. Were you aware of recruitment that was being done and profiling that was being done within the public, and I assume even the private school systems, where they were basically able to isolate intelligent, gifted individuals and then slipstream them into programs?
I was not aware of that until I got out of the military. When I got out and I started doing some serious research on this to identify organizations and power players, because at that point in time, there was a lot of targeting going on, and I wasn't sure whether or not I was going to go out and start doing the wet work or whether or not I was going to operate from a different standpoint. That was solved for me, but that was why I did it. So I didn't learn about that until after I got out of the military. But I was rather surprised to see that all of this was at its heyday when I was in there. When I was a young lad, a lot of those operations were already in full swing back when I was a little boy.
Yeah, and I've had conversations with a group of people who, over the years, I've developed relationships with, and we've come to believe that many of us were targeted. I believe that I was selected, and I was at one point considered for such a program. Like you, I have a very rebellious attitude. I don't conform well, and in all likelihood, those particular traits would not have marked me. But what I discovered, Jeff, was that they were earmarking people with high intelligence, IQs, which they were profiling at a very early age, much earlier than we've been led to believe, and that they were also targeting people who demonstrated empathic, psychic, and clairvoyant skills as well. So I wanted to run that past you because when I heard the first interview I heard with you on the Veritas show, I kept thinking in the back of my mind, you and I are very close in age. We both grew up, you grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania, I believe. I grew up in south central Pennsylvania. And I have a pretty strong indication that one of the programs called Project Talent was operating in the public school systems in large numbers in that particular generation. And I just wanted to know if you felt like maybe you had been targeted or that had something to do with things that transpired in your life later on.
I don't know if I was targeted then, but there were some indications when I was in there that I was being groomed for an assignment. And when I realized 3 years in that I didn't belong there, no matter what the assignment was or what I had decided I was going to do, I thought that I could do a lot more of it outside of the organization because in there, it was unbelievably stifling. It was like being in corporate America. Mm-hmm. You know, cross your T's, dot your I's, zero intuition or any kind of intuitive anything was allowed. And so for me, it was a little too constraining because a lot of what I do is through intuition and follow through. yes, I've got a great deal of left brain skills that I've trained in for many years, but when the chips are down, I use my intuition to solve problems much faster. And I just use the left brain to verify how I'm going to set up the order that I do things in. So it's one of those things where I thought I could do a better job out of here. It was 3 years when I was in. Mm. I realized I was in the wrong spot. And that's when I started doing meditation every day and building myself up to get involved in other things. And when I got out 3 years after that, after a six-year hitch, I went into process control computing and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. You were assigned into electronics units. I assume that would have encompassed a lot of maybe advanced electronics as well as communications. Did that put you in a position where you were able to glean information and use that in your role as a watchdog, an internal watchdog?
You better believe it. One of the things that I did was I had only a secret clearance, yet I was regularly in spaces that were above top secret. And the reason why is because when I got into the Navy, I went to Interior Communications School. And that's basically a glorified name for a guy that works on intercoms and telephones.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got in there, they offered me a Class C school, which was basically closed-circuit television and monitoring systems, you know, the predecessor to this nonsense they're pulling today, which is, as you and I both know, the Skynet of tomorrow. So
yes.
I got used to working in that field. I was very good at it. I could take a production television video switching system and do a total teardown a reformulation of all the settings inside to make sure it operated well, and I could do it without reading the book. And this is a several-hour procedure. So I got very good at that sort of thing. Now, my cameras and microphones were in all the places that were secure. My workspace was inside mission planning, inside the intelligence center, which is a cipher key lock vestibule door that you come in, close the door behind you, reach up into a box that has a hood over it, and you press these keys in a pattern, and then the door clicks on the other side and lets you in. And there's a gatekeeper inside. Sometimes there's a Marine with a rifle. It all depends on what's going on at the time. But you go inside, and you go in a little bit further, and there's a coffee mess on the left, a head on the left, and then over on the right is the intelligence commander's office, and then straight back is mission planning, where I did my work. My production switchers and production cameras were there. And so I had them in there. I had them in the satellite room. I had them in metrology. They were in combat information center. They were in the ops boss's room. They were in the crypto room. And, of course, they were in the captain's bedroom, as well as all the ready rooms.
Wow, and they were in the captain's bedroom. Wow.
Yeah, he caught me one day. I was basically tapping in to see what was cooking, and I left the LED light on his mic. And he comes across the 1MC system, which is a sound-powered intercom system, and he goes, "Somebody want to tell me why there's a light on my microphone next to my bed?" I got on, and everybody in the intelligence center, from the commander on down, looks over at me like, "I think you better answer that. That's for you." And so I went over and I go, "I'm sorry. I was doing some diagnostics and I forgot to turn it off. My apologies. I'll take care of that right away." So I did. But who knows? They might have started wondering at that point.
Mm.
Probably the only guy that's ever blackmailed the XO of an aircraft carrier openly and got.
I'm curious to know that in the 6 years that you were in the Navy, were you able to observe the behaviors of different levels of command to a degree where you could isolate those who were on the different factions?
Somewhat. We had one guy who was a yeoman in the ops room. He worked in air control. And this is where they have the office that does the air traffic control work, or the back office admin for it. And this guy, he had some skill sets that were not normal for his level or pay grade or age. I had done some training with Master Ko from Korea with a team of guys that were in a gymnasium when I was in Great Lakes. In fact, that's where I learned to do a really good split. Basically, this guy was a little bit further than he should have been. Mm-hmm. So he pretty much knew what was going on. And then there was a guy I worked with, Steve Strout, and he concurred. He thought that might be the case. Now, I still don't to this day know if Steve was a white hat or not. But he and I spent a lot of time together talking, learning to do certain things. Like, he taught me to do multiple listening and documenting. And the way he did that was, is we got inside the mission planning. And normally when all the pilots get together for the briefing in there, they're all chatting it up and, you know, trying to impress each other, a bunch of young ensigns and lieutenants. And what we did was, is we were practicing listening skills. And basically, he said, look, just listen to as many conversations as you can and track them at the same time. And when we get done, we'll talk about what we heard and see how much you can remember.
You're talking here now about listening to multiple conversations simultaneously.
Right. While we're standing there in mission planning, mm-hmm. doing what we're doing, we're listening to all the different conversations. And basically, we learn to key in on different voice patterns and then lock them into an area and just bounce back and forth between them. And pick up the keywords, and you could get a pretty good flow of conversation. I was only good with like maybe two or three. I never really developed the skill past that. What I did excel at, though, was body language and neurolinguistics programming language. You really need those skills to live if you're going to do something like what I was doing. The body language and the NLP skills were absolutely necessary to be able to see things happening or coming long before they got there. And when I was in school, in high school, I had a pretty uncanny knack at that. I was able to link to people, whether it was through the nervous system or the, you know, the subtle fields, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was able to tell where their head was before they started speaking to me about different things. And it came from a group of visual cues that I picked up from them. And these are naive people. Naive meaning they don't have any body language
right,
skills.
Right.
So basically, that's what I excelled at. And I was very good at determining when things were coming that shouldn't be coming.
Now, you marry that to what we would call your innate intuitive skills. And I'm imagining that you were tapped into them as well. A lot of people don't understand how NLP works exactly. Can you just give me like a thumbnail sketch of how that works? And then were you able to dovetail that as well into your own intuitive abilities?
Yes, and let's take an example. Neurolinguistics programming is when you use language to implant things in the mind of another human being or to entrain to the way they speak, their speech patterns. Mm-hmm. Like matching would be, all right, let's take an example here. Tell me what you did today in about three or four sentences.
I got up, I went to work, I came back here to the studio and did phone calls, email messages, and some pre-production for tonight's interview.
Okay. The reason you and I get along so well is because you and I are both extraordinarily kinesthetic. There's about 2% of the population that's that kinesthetic. Many of them are Aborigines in Australia. But you gave me all motion words, mm-hmm. all motion, which is all kinesthetic. You didn't give me any oral words like, you know, I was listening to music and I heard some things happened at work that were really interesting. And you didn't give me any visual cues like, you know, I saw something really interesting happen at work. And the way I see it is, those are all visual cues. So if I were to talk to you, in order for me to match the way you speak and become somebody who thinks like you in your mind, mm-hmm. because when I match your speech pattern, you instantly go, hey, he's like me. And you do that at the subconscious level.
Right.
So matching is one of the many skills in NLP, and you can do that based on what kind of keywords the person uses, and you feed them back to them. And what you do is you mentally catalog them as, okay, for you it was 4Ks in a row for kinesthetic. Some people it might be a kinesthetic, two audios, and a visual. So, you know, it depends on their code, so you just ramp it back to them exactly the same way. You structure your speech pattern to them. So your brain needs to fire at a pretty fast level to be able to make the speech up to be able to fire that back in sequence. The second one that's really very, very useful is if you're using embedded commands in your speech. And embedded commands are beautiful. They are really good, especially if you're doing Intel work, because you need to take the people who are somewhat naive and be able to influence them. And so you combine matching with embedded commands. And the way that might work is I might say something like, Randy, one of the things that I'd like you to buy into is the fact that we are going to be doing a show, and it's going to be about supplements. Mm-hmm. Now, there are two words I highlighted, but in different ways, and one was buy and supplements. Now, facts I threw in as an anchor.
That's actually almost subliminal, what you just...
It's precisely what's going on. You're going underneath the wire. You're basically doing it in a way that the subconscious says, oh, buy, facts, supplements? That's all it really heard. That's all it heard about. Sounds like you got a little traffic there.
What's going on is, unfortunately, it's a beautiful day, so we open windows up. We're not running air conditioning, and my studio sits here.
Great,
kind of little wraparound to the house. So we pick up planes, boats, trains, people honking, and occasionally the next door neighbor's dog.
That's great.
I call it environmental ambiance.
Exactly. And you also get the benefit of some fresh air because Pennsylvania is a whole lot cleaner than New York City.
Yeah. Who wants to sit in a stuffy air conditioned room when I can breathe in air that's been beautifully purified by the mountains around me here?
All right, so embedded commands are another example of NLP. Body language is when you start reading the eye inflections, the squint of the eye, the way the head tilts, the turn of their lips, the way they hold their hands, the way they hold their torso, the way they stand, legs apart, legs together, how they gesture, things of that nature. And those are things we as children learn very, very early on. But how well you learn them has a lot to do with whether or not you're able to use them later on. I had to learn them because my dad was kind of a quiet type. So I had to watch how he acted to know what he was thinking or feeling. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really good at it. So, yeah, those are skills that I brought with me. And I spent the early 70s honing the living daylights out of the NLP and the body language. And I got to a professional level where I was able to go in and out of any situation, and within about 17 seconds, I knew what was going on inside the room. No matter how many people were in it, I knew who the mover and shakers were, I knew who the authority figures were, I knew who the followers were, and I also knew who the wallflowers that really weren't wallflowers were.
In other words, the people who were deliberately there in the background attempting to look unassuming.
Right, or standing in a group of four or five people trying to look unassuming and just being part of the conversation. But you could literally watch the steam coming off mm-hmm. their head almost because they were cataloging everything that came out of the lips of people.
Yeah, that's actually very instructive for us who maybe have never had a military or intelligence background to remember, too, because our culture is now turned into a snitch culture. And I've had conversations with a lot of people where I've said, you know, you have to pay attention to your surroundings. You have to watch details. in movement around you and people who move in and out of your personal zone, because a lot of what's happening now is information is gleaned by very seemingly random contacts.
Absolutely. You can go to a grocery store today, maybe it's got a little cafe section, and you go in there and you sit down in one of the cafe seats and you can spot tails a mile away because you sit down, you're having a snack, whatever it is, and someone will sit reasonably far away from you, but not far away enough that they can't hear. And you'll notice they never sit facing you. They sit with one ear towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's when you're with other people or when you're on the phone, and you'll notice they've got their little book out and they're eating lunch, but they never turn a page. Or they turn a page a little too irregularly, and you know what's going on. They're monitoring. It was interesting. I was in the living room the other day, and my mom had come in with me. And we walked into the room, and we both heard a man speaking. And as soon as he heard us come in, he stopped speaking. Now, it was a very low, dull voice. He didn't sound very intellectual, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty clear that they had bugged my living room, and probably because of what I'm working on with the radionics. I've been quite vocal about it. I know exactly what I'm going to do with it. They know what I'm going to do with it. And, you know, it's probably just keeping tabs to see what I'm up to.
And I want to move on to that subject. There's one more area I wanted to touch on that I don't think is directly related to your military intelligence background, but has a lot to do with it, and that is your training and use of remote viewing and remote influencing.
Okay. When I got out of the Navy, I went into process control computing. I realized that I no longer belonged in a technical field, even though I was extremely good at it. So I needed to be in touch with people more. I was much more of a gregarious person in that regard, being a Leo and whatever. So basically what happened was I decided to get into sales. So I started doing a combination of some moisture testing for labs in the Adirondacks that do pulp and paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
I taught them how to do moisture testing down to 6 decimal places. And that's pretty tight tolerances, but you know,
certainly is, yeah.
You have really good lab skills to do that, and you know, I'm kind of anal retentive when it comes to that, so it comes easy to me. So I did that for a couple of years, and then I realized, no, I need to be in strict sales because the incomes are better, A, and B, I would get to interface with more people on a regular basis. So I went into the sales arena. Working in a various set of positions, and I found my way into telecom sales. And I worked for Ross Perot's old company, EDS, for a short period of time. This was after he sold it to General Motors. And I built some resellers for them. I also helped topple one of them that was doing some pretty slimy things. So, you know, I did a little infiltration work in different companies like Verizon Wireless.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting when I found out that they were one of the big porn hosting companies, Verizon was. That's unique. That explains a few things. And then, of course, they have the stones to say it's a great place for women to work. Yeah, I'm sure it is in their mind. I just don't think it's a great idea. So at any rate, I did some of that. And during this period of time, around 2005, I was listening to a show and I heard Ed Dame speak. And I was like, now that sounds like the kind of skill that I could put to use. So I contacted him, and he said, well, you know, I'll help train you, but get the DVD set first and learn it before we go any further so that if you come to a seminar or a class, you at least know what you're doing. So I did. I was faithful to it. I didn't cheat. I didn't move ahead. I did it exactly the way it was. And after 4 months, I was doing sessions at the level of somebody who had done hundreds. So I went to go to class with him. I met Rick Hilliard, who runs the remote viewing unit out in Australia. I met Kathy, and I met a very interesting ex-Army captain, who I won't go into for various reasons. But he and I became quite good friends over the years. And so I met a lot of interesting people doing remote viewing. And Ed had mentioned a couple of books, like Where Numbers Come From, the books by Rupert Sheldrake, mm-hmm. and one really, really interesting book called Preconscious Processing. Now, when he told us about these books that he recommended, I started looking them up, and Preconscious Processing was $150 for a used copy. And I said, well, it must be good. So I went and I bought a copy. It belonged to a psychologist. She even left a little note in the book, if it sold. So I got this book, and I read maybe a third of it. And by the time I got done reading a third of it, I'd already made $50,000 with this thing. This thing teaches you about all kinds of subliminal work that you can do. And if I had had that when I was in the military, the things I could have accomplished, I can't even tell you. And I won't tell you the things that I do with it, because some of them, I'd prefer they not be known. Because they are tools of mine that are extraordinarily valuable. And they've gotten me out of very tight spots, and they've helped get me into some tight spots that I really wanted to be in.
But again, this is useful information for those who actually listen to these interviews, because what I try to do is get strategies and tools that people can implement, because the biggest thing I hear now from people is how do I get out of my trap? It could be a relationship, it could be an economic situation, it could be anything within the spectrum of human behavior. And when I interview somebody like you and you give these little clues and pointers, every once in a while I like to take a big yellow highlighter and go, hey, look at this, because there's tools here. And some people will balk at spending $150 for a book, which today I think that book's probably going for more than that, because I don't think it's in print anymore. I say that to say that we are trying to pave here a way for people to break out of their boxes. And any time that I have guests on, I'm appreciative when they give these little pointers like you just did.
That book is, even though it was really difficult at the time for me, because I would never paid more than $40 for a book in my life, and now I'm paying $150 for this little skinny book. But I got to tell you, in the first third of it, you got so many tips and pointers and hints on what you can do. it's ridiculously valuable. And it also tells you how the other side uses it as well. You've got the Asalian Institute, you've got Tavistock, I get such a kick out of that. Most of the mind programming comes out of Tavistock.
Yes.
This big public helper group, it's a kicker. But anyway, these are good books. I could recommend something that is very good listening. If you can get some of the data from Stuart Wild, Stewart Wild. This is a guy who helps you stay level. Now, it's not going to help you with infiltration work if you're playing around with corporate espionage or whatever, but it will help you stay level. It will keep you from getting an overblown ego. It'll keep you from treating others poorly, and it will allow you to let people who insult you or are too ignorant to talk to just float off your back like water off a duck. And it's very helpful.
Yeah, I've actually used some of Stuart Wild's materials, because I was one of those people. Hair trigger, temper, easily offended, and constantly in conflict with people. And you're right, that's another skill that goes a long way towards paving the road.
Yeah, one of the things that I've learned from going through some of that is, well, you know that I got into radionics about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had looked at all the machines around the world from different countries. I looked at, just about everything there was. And I found out a dirty little secret out there. In the original days, you'd have slime balls going out to the garbage dump, and they would go pick up a circuit board from a TV they'd put it inside of a box, put a couple of rheostats or a couple of potentiometers on it, you know, basically volume controls, and put a couple of pads on it and say, here's a radionics box, buy this for $300. You know, and they were just nothing. They didn't do anything. And really, all you got was the ability to focus and use your own mind to do the work. So there's a lot of guys out there doing that. Now, today, there are units that go for $10,000 to $20,000 a pop, and these things are little more than an astrological program with a random number generator. And what they do is, and you probably know the names of some of these big guys, they've got a unit, and they call it the quantum this or that. And basically what it is they take the birth date, time, and location. And anybody who understands astrology knows that there's a particular pattern everyone is born under when you come out of the birth canal.
Right.
And you're going to be predisposed to certain weaknesses in certain areas of the body. So what they do is they take that data and they run through a random number generator and match it to your symptoms that you come in asking about. And they go, oh, yes, look, this is off and that's off and you need to do this and that. And they sell you a boatload of supplements and send you packing on your way. And the truth is the only effect you'll get is a placebo for most of those. Now, that's not real radionics. That's scam artist work. And we're talking $10,000 to $20,000 a crack for these devices. And they've got lots of data behind them, and it looks like they're good, but they're junk. So I went through all these units out there, and I settled on two or three. The two I finally settled on was Carl Wells' unit, which is a very strong organite accumulator that is strobed. And the reason why that's so good is because that organite field is so huge, and you direct that using scalar waves from your brain, and it works very well. However, it has no database in it. It doesn't have solid frequency control, so it drifts with temperature. But they're good, strong units for influencing people in situations. Then the other system that I looked at and I decided on was the SE5. And the SE5-1000 is their latest version, and Don Paris manufactures these. And this thing is literally ridiculous. You're talking about 17,000 codes in the database, roughly. You're talking about everything from cellular work all the way up through psychological work, endocrine system, hematological systems, pulmonary systems. You can look at the information field on any kind of a cell. We don't work on the cells. We work on the information field that surrounds them. And for the audience, every cell in your body, every particle of dirt, dust, electron, atom, molecule, whatever, all have a field around them. This field holds information, and it links into the actual field of origin. I think it's Wilcock calls it the source field, which is a very poor word to use for a field that's the origin field versus the source. Mm-hmm. The source field for your liver cells would be the ones around your hepatocytes. That's what the source field would be for that. The origin field, however, is where all the information is stored for the entire universe, and that's what we link into with remote viewing. So basically, what the SE5 can do is it can target specific fields in the body, in molecules around you, in boards, buildings, walls, dogs, trees, flowers, birds, water, you name it. You can target the field on anything.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I want to back you up here a little bit. I don't assume knowledge, and in this particular case, I'm kind of curious myself. Can we explain what radionics is and your understanding of how this technology works? You came through a number of technologies over the years that I've heard you talk about, including, I believe, was it a brain stim or a neurostim that you deployed? But maybe you can make some distinctions here on different technologies and then walk us into radionics in a way that we understand what this technology is and how it works.
Right. The brain stem was done with the Shiva and Shakti neural stimulation systems. Those are coils that go around your head in various configurations, and we put gentle, complex magnetic signals into them to stimulate your brain so you can have varying effects. It's also very good for getting the brain labile or flexible.
Mm-hmm.
The more flexible your brain, the more experiences you have, especially lucid dreaming, out-of-body experiences, astral projection. You know the movie, Inception?
Yes.
Right? Well, that's real. The only thing not real about it is that it doesn't take drugs to do it. I'm sure you can use drugs to enhance it or to get into the state faster, but people naturally do those things. I've been way down below level 4 of the dream states. So that's one of the technologies. Then you get into radionics, and radionics is a broad spectrum term, and it's not really a device. It's a class of devices,
okay.
And there's two main ones in it. One is like Carl Wells' unit, which is similar to a traditional radionics unit. A traditional radionics unit does not have an orgone accumulator in it. Carl's does because it helps boost the power. But a regular radionics box is basically a stick pad and a couple of potentiometer dials and an output pad and an input pad. Some people call it the wells. But the bottom line is that's what a basic unit is. And they work off of your own scalar waves out of your brain. There's no power to them. They're simply static devices that allow you to direct your mind and your mind's energy, which are scalar waves. Each hemisphere of your brain puts out scalar waves in an interferometer pattern or an interferogram, meaning the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere each put out a wave.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you focus your mind, and it's usually where your eyes are going, that's where those two waves will go to in a point like a pyramid, and they interfere with each other, and they actually create an impact with those scalar waves. Now, that's a basic radionics unit of the old style.
Okay.
Carl's
has how old is the technology, Jeff?
Oh, my God, over 60 years old.
Okay.
It's been around for a very, very, very long time.
I'm assuming that this has many applications and that it has also been weaponized as well.
Oh, my God, yeah. That's one of the reasons why it's not promoted in the United States much. They don't want it taught. They don't want me doing radio shows on it. It's probably why I got bugged.
Good. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the other type of unit is the one the SE5 is. Now, this is very similar in that it has an input plate and an output plate, or well. It's got a stick pad, and under that stick pad is a scalar wave antenna and amplifier.
What is a stick pad? Can you give me an eyeball sketch of that?
Sure. If you look at the device, and I'm looking at mine on my desk right now, my
okay.
SE5, it's a white box, well molded, it's about an inch thick. It's about, 10 inches the one direction, probably about 13 the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And on the face of it, there's a computer inside. And it's a very, very quiet electronic system because it doesn't put off microwaves or a lot of EMF or anything. It's very, very quiet. It's got a control pad. It's got a dial on it for setting amplitudes. And it's got a bunch of buttons to be able to set different programs and start and stop them, as well as the two wells. The stick pad is a white pad that's on the right-hand side. And this white pad, you take your fingers. What I use is my right hand, the two middle fingers, and to do a stick pad response, you run circles on the stick pad with those two fingers.
Okay.
You're tuning into a particular thought form or an item or a field. When, and just like in remote viewing, when you lock onto that piece of information in the field of origin, what will happen is there is an ideomotor response that gets set up through your nervous system because your mind connected to that source field that has the data, which is in the actual field of origin. And as soon as you link to it, your nervous system pulls the information in like a big antenna. and it bubbles up through your preconscious processing, and it comes in as an archetypical symbol, and then it gets decoded whatever way it needs to in your conscious processing after you have it identified in your long-term memory. And what happens is your fingers get this stick where you're rubbing around in a circle on the pad, and all of a sudden your fingers stick to it. You mm-hmm. can, and that's the lock on the piece of information, and you know you've set the right setting. So basically you're using a neuromuscular electrical motor response to tell you that you've hit the right setting with the dial. So while you're turning that amplitude dial with your left hand and you're running circles with your right hand on the stick pad, when you hit the right spot with the dial, your other hand that's doing the stick pad will actually stick to it. And it does take a little training to get good at the stick pad response. With the RAD5 that I used with the older style units, I was extraordinarily good with it. With this, it takes a lot more training. I need to change the way I look at it and the way I link to the data fields. But there's a stick pad training program built into it. And in this box, you've got access to 17,000 field codes. And some of these codes are down at the low level where you're talking about a cell field. And that would be considered a field that's an information field around a cell or a low-level field. And then you can go into thought forms. And this is something we didn't cover yet. But you can actually take any thought form or idea, and you can tune a code for that. Mm-hmm. And you can actually put it into your database and use it again and again. So let's say I wanted to set up a code for, give me an example, some kind of a thought form.
Wow.
Anything you'd like to be able to test for that there's no meter made for it.
Yeah, you mean in the physical?
Anything. Physical, metaphysical, an idea.
Okay. Well, being able to manifest a visual idea in my head, perhaps.
Okay.
A concept, something that I can envision and imagine in my mind, but there is no counterpart in physical reality.
All right, give me the name of it. Just any name of any concept. I know.
I'm completely stalled. That doesn't happen often.
Exactly. You feel, because most people are not used to thinking in these terms. All right, so let's take something really out there metaphysical.
Okay.
And let's say we want to have a code for influence.
Perfect.
That's a pretty wild word, huh? Because there's a million kinds of influence. But
mm-hmm.
if we were to take that word, and I don't think there's any code in there right now for it, but if we were to take that word and we were to actually focus on that word while we use the stick pad and the amplitude response, and we typed that word or printed that word on a piece of paper and put it on the input well or inside the slip in the back where the input plate goes, you could actually find a tuning setting for that word influence. And it would depend on what kind of influence you were thinking of at the time, what you would get. So to really do it properly, you would say emotional influence.
Good one. Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And so what you would do is you would tune to that. Now, let's say you didn't want to use the stick pad. And let's say you just wanted to use the system and let it come up with a code for it. It has the ability for you to type a word in into the computer that's linked to it, hit the word tuning button, and it will use an algorithm that is tied to archetypical symbols based on the alphabet, and it will come up with a tuning setting that's within 90% of being accurate. Now, if you had something like beryllium, and it was not in the database,
mm-hmm.
type beryllium in and get a tuning for the word. But if you had a sample of beryllium and you put it on your input plate, you could do a physical tuning for the beryllium, and you could get dead nuts on that sample doing a stick pad response with the amplitude dial. So you can add to the 17,000 codes that are already in it anything you want, whether it's an idea, an emotion, a thought form, anything.
Okay, so we've done data input here. We've done, okay, we've input influence, specifically influence being drawn from my concept of influence, which, let us say in this case, is to be able to affect an emotional response of bliss.
Okay.
Now, we have that code in there. What, in the practical, quote, real world, do we do with that data once it's inside that machine? How does that feed back to me or to any other user?
All right. What we do is we can use either a picture of the person and put it into the input plate. And you'd say, well, why would you use a picture? Well, first of all, anytime light hits anything,
mm-hmm.
information is transferred and information is stored.
I know exactly where you're going with this, but keep going. Yeah, this is beautiful.
This is something people have a hard time wrapping their head around. But if you took like a Polaroid picture of someone with an emulsion film, you'd have even better data than if you just used, let's say, a digital.
Right.
If you combine the two, it'd be good. Now, you could either do that, or you could take an envelope, a special kind of envelope we use that's very clean, and you could actually pinprick their finger, have them put a drop of blood in the envelope, seal it up, just, you know, on the label, put their name or their initials or something, and you would slide that into the plate in the back. There's a slot for it to go. And there's a scalar wave antenna that links directly to that DNA sample there. You could use saliva, you could use hair, you could use fingernails, skin samples, rubbings from the skin, anything that's got DNA on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the stronger the DNA, the stronger the link to the information fields. But one drop of blood or saliva or hair, you basically have enough DNA to reconstruct that whole body because it's all in each one of those molecules. Now, you were talking about influencing somebody, and in the psychological fields database, and again, remember, we're not actually working on the cells of the body. We're working on the fields of information that tell the cells what to do, which the FDA does not regulate.
Right.
So if we go into the psychology, I probably have 10 or 15 pages of single-line codes here for things in psychology. And I can give you some examples here. We can do environmental stability, replace separation with love. We can replace ego with understanding. We can replace grief with humility. We can replace desire with acceptance. We can replace just about anything with anything else. So let's say you have a code for replace, let's just say you're replacing desire with acceptance. All right, you're desiring something heavily, and it's because you don't accept yourself and what you already have and are. But let's say you wanted to mix something up and replace something with something else. You would code that whole thing, and you could actually set up a code for that, and you could deliver that field of information for that code to another human being anywhere on the planet with only their DNA. The scalar wave fields with the amplifier will reach them anywhere on the planet. And we're talking instantaneously.
Because scalar waves do not operate environmentally, and they do not operate within, what, a space-time domain?
They are in space-time. However, they're faster than the speed of light. So for all practical purposes, they're instantaneous. A lot of this has to do with how you're operating the machine. Because remember, even though you're using the DNA to link to it, your subconscious is still involved in the process unless you've found a way to unlink it. But we can do just about everything. We can do mood swings. We can do mental thoughts, emotional, mental illness, imbalances. We can do abandonment, aberrant thoughts, just about anything in the psychological arena you can imagine. We can do it.
Let's move over to the physical realm and talk a little bit about some of the physical things that you can do, because clearly you're into an area here of what we would call loosely healing, but it really isn't in the strictest sense of the definition that you're operating by. As you pointed out, doing the work the way you are and operating this machine at a field level, you are not defining yourself as a practitioner. So how, for instance, do you present some of this technology to people who are seeking solutions in their physical body?
All right. I am a practitioner because there are many kinds of practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
You have osteopaths, which are bone practitioners. You've got cardiovascular, which, you know, they basically are the heart guys. You've got all kinds of different people. My practice, as a board-certified nutritionist, I practice in homotoxicology. However, if somebody is interested in using field research to see what their body is doing and perhaps influence those fields, you would use something like the SE5 or a hologram card. I've got two hologram cards that I have on the site right now. One is called a vitality card, which basically we use the regulatory systems like your meridian systems, your endocrine system, your cardio, and many other systems. And then we add in other things to boost your vitality. And we put those many, many different codes in one little hologram. And you wear it as a patch, and you get dosed 24 hours a day.
Yes, I'm looking at these on your site right now.
The second one is for negative energies. And most people today, especially if you drink alcohol or you have any kind of addictions, you typically will have negative energies that attach themselves to you. And they affect how stable you are, and they affect your endocrine system first, usually. Well, they affect you psychologically at a subconscious level, but they affect physically your endocrine system. So we work on a couple of things. With that, we are clearing out the negatives, and there are a whole host of them. There are negative thought patterns, there are negative energies, there are negative entities, all kinds of things that attach to you. Many practitioners, like chiropractors and people who have hands-on people a lot,
mm-hmm.
What they have to do is they have to mentally dissociate themselves from their patients.
Yes.
So they don't suck up some of their junk.
I just had a conversation with a friend of mine whom I've known my whole life, who's a chiropractor. And we were sitting out on my deck last Friday night, and I was watching him rub his head, and I said, "Do you have a headache?" And he said, "No, I'm discharging all this energy that I picked up in the course of my work week." And so that concept very brought home to me very strong when you were saying that.
Now, what we do is we actually, when we use the SE5 and we do a sample for someone, when we set up our initial training, we have something called intake clearances. And what these do is they help us set up the machine to work with it. So some of the first things we do is we look to see if we can set something up for protection from the person we're working on. That's very important so that we don't pick up any of their baggage and they don't pick up any of our baggage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. The second thing we do is we use a code that allows us to harmonize between the person so that even though we've got a block for baggage being traded, we can actually harmonize with each other and actually improve our relations so I can work on them.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have energy purity. We go, how pure is the energy in the sample that we're doing? Is it pretty pure, pretty clean? And you're going to find people who work with subtle energy fields and things like that all their life, they have a very high energy purity in their body. because they meditate, they do juicing, they do a lot of vegetarian eating, very little meat, and they keep themselves in shape, and they watch how they think and what their emotions are. Mm-hmm. So they stay very clean and high purity when it comes to that. And then we've got a whole group of interferences that we look at to see if there's any interference, whether it be by x-rays, geopathic stresses. You could have an underground waterway under you causing geopathic stress that screws up your ability to work on someone at that location. So we look at different types of interferences. And then, of course, we go into barriers to rapport. Are there anything that could stop us from having rapport with each other? That's important. All right, so, you know, and an example would be, okay, patient comes into your office. They want to have you take a look at their energy and see about clearing up some issues and looking at being able to, you know, just basically have a lot more vitality. And it turns out you're in a relationship with their sister, and they don't know it. Sister's grown up and gone away, whatever, but they don't know it. But at a subconscious level, there is a barrier to rapport there. Mm-hmm. So rinse those things out. All right. So then we go through all these intake clearances, and, you know, we look at all that to see if there's any issues. Then we start to work on the situation. And we can go into everything, cellular level, all the way down through eye, ear, nose. There is an ophthalmic section in there I'm using on my vision, and I've had improvements in my vision because of it. There's nervous system. You can go through the neurological section, and that's probably 10 pages long.
So let's take a break at this point, and then when we come back, I'd like to get into a little bit more of your strategies for healing, the technology you're using, and what it is that you are offering for people today who need help with these units. So let's take a break at this point. Before we do, Jeff, for this particular file, could you give us your website and contact information?
Sure. It's www.jefftech.net. That's jefftech.net. There's only one F in Jeff. I prefer phone calls to emails. My phone number is 570-219-2025.
And that's where we're gonna break it here for this section. We're going to come back for the second part with my guest, Jeff Harvey, on Off Planet Radio. I'm Randy Morgan.
Your Off Planet Radio listening experience will return shortly.
Matt Presti, producer of the Secret of Light series. I would like to invite you to attend the first annual Russellian Science and Philosophy Conference in conjunction with the Center of the One Heart Homecoming Festival, September 7th and 8th, 2013, in Waynesboro, Virginia, at the former home and location of the University of Science and Philosophy. Several speakers will present on the power of love in action, the cosmology of Walter and Leo Russell. Don't miss this opportunity to attend a life-changing event. Get your lodging secured in Waynesboro, Virginia as soon as possible. Volunteer positions are available for those who wish to help. Call Richard at 1-800-741-1012. That's 1-800-741-1012. And visit thesecretoflight.org and oneheartcenter.org for more information. To donate to the event, visit theoracleinstitute.org. Special thanks to Randy Maugins of Off Planet Radio for sponsoring this infomercial. See you at Swannanoa.
This is Randy Moggins of Off Planet Radio. The human biology is under stress as never before. Environmental hazards, genetically modified foods, toxins in the earth and air, chemtrails, and escalating radiation levels. How do we get control? Thanks to the work of a team of researchers, we are pleased to announce a revolutionary natural technology that can help your body rebuild its original coating. RNA Drops is a complement formula based on the newly discovered iCell. RNA is the building block of DNA. These new DNA structures are the gateway to what is called ascension. Many users of the RNA drops have discovered the benefits of a product as unique as their own biology, finding newfound well-being, peace of mind, and a sense of control over their destiny. Like me, they are enjoying a sense of empowerment within their own bodies and emotions. To get all the details on RNA drops and to find out how you can obtain a free mini bottle, go to rnagenesis.com. That's rnagenesis.com.
Welcome to another dimension, a dimension of understanding. You are entering a place where reality collides with truth. There are no limits, there are no boundaries. This is our planet radio.
JeffTech.net, that's Jeff with one F. It's www.jefftech.net. And you go back on the first part of this interview and you will hear us talk a little bit about Jeff's past history. And as we started to get into more the side of talking about the technology that Jeff's working with, which is very advanced and very sophisticated, and I think for people like me who are non-technical on certainly the scale that we've talked about so far, some of these concepts are a little different to wrap our heads around. So again, Jeff, we're talking here about radionics in healing, and the concept behind that has to do with operating on the field level around cells, but not exclusively cells. Is that correct?
Correct. We basically work on the field of information, and most fields of information have some degree of corruption to them. And when they do, the data that's in them that tells the cell what to do, or properly what to do, is corrupt. So the cell won't do what it's supposed to do. And there are a lot of factors on how you get there, and there's a few factors on how to get out of it, but that's what we do basically.
Now, you've had your own health struggles over the last few years, and I kind of, based on what I know about you and what I've heard you detail, this has been a path for you in your own healing and applying this technology, as well as now being able to reach out to other people who have a whole array of physical, mental, emotional issues as well. Can you give us a little bit of your own background, your own experience, and even how you got to doing the kind of work you're doing today?
Sure. Back when I was in the Navy, I was on the aircraft carrier, the Kennedy, and we had a phalanx weapon system, which is basically a Gatling gun for shooting down airborne targets. And they were doing a drone exercise where they were shooting drones down. And one of the stops, as the gun swings, tracking the drone, mm-hmm. one of the stops broke, and it turned around and shot up the side of the ship. Well, the bad news is they were using depleted uranium rounds, and this unit was up around the level of the O3 level. which is right where the intelligence center is and the floor that I work on. And so everybody up there got dosed with depleted uranium. And that causes a lot of aberrant damage in your DNA, your genetics, a lot of things. And so over the course of years, I got exposed when I got out of the military to gamma radiation as well. And basically, I started degenerating very heavily. I was so toxic that my personality changed, and I was doing and acting in ways that were embarrassing, to say the least. I've treated people extraordinarily poorly when I was toxic, and that's not who I really am. And anybody who knows me knows that. But, you know, you start acting in very, very unacceptable behavior manners. And what happened was, is it got up to the point of around 2000, 2001, and I started becoming ill. And around 2003, I was bedridden, and I had about 2 weeks left to live. I went from a little over 200 pounds, mostly muscle, down to 138 pounds of nothing. I basically wasted away, and I was eating four meals a day, and nothing was absorbing. So I didn't have much longer to live, and I was looking through a health journal trying to come up with something, and I ran across this one naturopath, Gary Tinsky, and he was one of these cowboy guys in the cowboy clinics. He was really good at what he did. He helped a lot of people. And so I told him what my issue was, and he used a little chelation therapy with supplements.
Sorry about that.
That's right. He used a juicing system, and then, of course, you know, really, really good quality nutrition. And in about 8 months, he was able to get me back up and standing. And, you know, I was bedridden to the point where I couldn't even get out. It was unbelievably painful. And so I nearly died, but we got me back. It took a year and a half to learn to walk again properly, though. And I got my voice back. I'd lost that for a month. I couldn't speak. I was so weak. So once we got it back, I realized, okay, now I need to do something about this to keep it going, because clearly I'm not out of the woods yet. I was still deteriorating in many ways, but I was now going to live because I had reversed the degeneration of the cells to a certain level. So I learned all of these methodologies, how to use the HEAL detox kit to detox the body and the extracellular matrix. And then the fellow that I had met in the remote viewing class shortly thereafter, he said to me, he said, you really want to get a piece of paper, he said, because it'll help a lot. He says, so go get board certified. So I did. I went and got my board certification in nutrition, and then I pursued homotoxicology, because homotoxicology teaches you how to solve the problem, not how you got into it and what it takes to get the right nutrients in. We want to figure out how to get the toxins back out faster than just waiting years for the nutrition to help. So I did this, and I studied it for a while, and what happened was, is over a period of time, I started using more and more tools. I started out with sound analysis of the voice. That was helpful. But I did not like the fact that the analysis would change 5 minutes after you did it. So you couldn't sell somebody a group of samples or supplements to help them if 15 minutes later they needed a different batch. So I didn't like the way these people were practicing out there doing it, and I dropped the whole thing because I was looking for something that would actually make a long-lasting impact for people, not something that's basics. Mm-hmm. So I got into, you know, the mind stimulation tools. I got into radionics. I used all kinds of different modalities. And I got to the point where I had learned how to do really advanced nutrition. Like on my website, there's a product under Nutriture called Spiruzan. It's a combination of spirulina and astaxanthin tablets. And the spirulina is like 62% plant-based protein from algae. And on top of it, loads of amino acids, minerals, vitamins, you name it. The astaxanthin is probably one of the most powerful antioxidants you can buy today. And so that's great for knocking down inflammation and helping with stress responses. So I buy that stuff in huge bulk, like 20,000 tabs at a time. And I make these big bulk buys for people at reasonable cost so they can dose it heavily and for long term. So I use various types of nutrients to help people. Like for if you have a cold or a flu, don't reach for the antibiotics. That's just going to destroy your flora in your intestinal system, which is part of your immune system. Get something like lauricidin. And that stuff is comes from organic coconut oil. The active ingredient is monolaurin. And this stuff is killer. It chews the protein coating right off the viruses and bacteria. And it just kills them dead. And it kills a boatload of bacteria and virus forms.
This is important. We've been, in our culture, I think we've been over-medicated in many areas. Antibiotics being one of them. I cannot take most antibiotics. I have been allergic to things like penicillin and sulfa since I was a child. I had very strong reactions to penicillin the last time I took it, and that was when I was about 11 years old. Learning how to deploy things against the enemies inside our body that would normally be the regimen of antibiotics, I think this is one of these key areas that people need to understand. The Valencia Spirazan, these are what again? These are support or these are antibiotic type?
No, they're support. This is a nutrient that is akin to a good quality vitamin. It's okay. Got a lot of stuff. The Army was going to use it for LRPs, long-range patrols, because you can eat this with water and you can survive on it. They had already talked about if they were going to do NASA when they were operating. They were talking about doing a mission to Mars, and this is one of the foods they were going to use for them because it's lightweight and it's boatloads of nutrition. So it's good stuff, and it's something that, you know, if you're going to be eating things that aren't that nutritious for you, take three of these things before a meal and at least get your baseline nutrition in there that you need. I've dosed as many as 12 at a time to get a detox effect out of it, and it does a good job. So there are supplements that are helpful for people, like the lauricidin for the colds and flus. Anybody who comes to me with herpes and, let's say, Lyme's disease.
Yeah,
those are two rich big ones.
That's a big one.
And this stuff keeps it at bay. It's amazing. It beats, hands down, antibiotics. It can slow gangrene down to a level that it's almost controllable. And you can't say that about antibiotics. So there are many things that can be done. And when you take antibiotics, they wipe out the good flora in your intestinal tract, that is your immune system. And what they also do is some of the bad bacteria, it enhances it and causes it to take over the areas where the good bacteria was. So what we do is we use a product called Sporebiotic. It's only available through doctors. You'll never see it in Walmart or Walgreens or, you know, Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff is only 5 strains wide. But it's the 5 most predominant in the body, dosed at 2,000 times the normal level. Now, when you take a normal pre and probiotic, and a probiotic is basically just good beneficial flora, a prebiotic is stuff to feed the probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
When you take them, they actually get destroyed 50% or more because of the stomach acid and the acid levels in the intestinal tract. So you get very little out of them. You got to take massive doses for long periods of time. Sporebiotics, on the other hand, are a product of the Human Biome Project. And these things are amazing. Stomach acid doesn't even touch them. So 100% of them get sporulated in your intestinal tract.
How are they assimilated? They are assimilated in the intestinal tract?
Yeah, and it's pretty cool how it works. So you swallow a tablet. And you take it right after your first meal of the day. Now, when you have it'll start sporulating in the upper end of the intestines and starting to colonize the inside wall. Then when your next meal comes in and some of the food starts pushing down on it, and it moves along, it goes dormant. Then when it reaches the large intestines, it sporulates again. Now, this is where all the main absorption is in your body. And so what it does is it resporulates heavily down there. On top of that, it actually creates the vitamin B complex right in the intestine where it gets absorbed. It creates the antioxidant right there where it gets absorbed, and a boatload of other nutrients. Then as it gets shoved lower, it goes and it goes dormant again. And when it hits the colon, it resporulates one more time before you knock it out of the system. Now, when you take a normal pre and probiotic, that stuff is out of there in a couple of days. Just passes right through. This stuff, on the other hand, takes 7 to 21 days to completely pass through. So the pill you took today, the pill you took tomorrow, the day after, the day after, the day after, they are all working through the intestinal tract. And what they're doing is they're multiplying their levels because they're 2,000 times your normal levels. And they actually manage their own levels so they never get too much in there. It's amazing.
That is now, amazing, yeah. It's like self-managing system.
Exactly. So when you take these things, you dose them carefully. I teach everybody how to dose them so that they get the maximum benefit. But here's the really cool part. When they did the experiments on the human body, and you probably know this, but you're only 10% human cells. 90% of you are bacterial microbes. Mm-hmm. Now, they took four petri dishes, two on the left, one on the top, one on the bottom, separated by like 6 inches, and on the right, the same thing. Well, the upper one on each side was human cells. The bottom two were bacterial microbes. Now, these are separated by quite a distance, all four of these dishes. Now, what they did on the two on the left was they put a drop of poison in there, and they put it in each one, the human cells and the bacterial microbes, which are 90% of your body. And what they did was they wanted to see how long it would take for us to adapt. So the human cells took about 6 weeks. The bacterial microbes took about 4 weeks. Nice improvement. So then after the end of that project, they took the other two petri dishes and did it again. Now this is like 6 weeks later, right? So they did it again. This time the human cells took 6 weeks again. The bacterial microbes took 2 days. They are communicating across distances through the field of information that's the origin field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is staggering stuff. So that one pill you took 7 to 21 days ago is communicating with all the rest of those pills that you took all the way up to today that are sporulating in the system, going dormant, creating nutrients down in the intestinal tract, and they are unbelievably powerful.
I'm still wrapping my mind around the fact that they can do what they're doing within the information field, and the fact that basically this is like setting up a perimeter in your system. That's very phenomenal.
Very true. Now, what we just did was I had the manufacturer of the SE5 code this particular spore biotic. And we are going to be testing the code on that to see if we get the same results. I'm going to deliver it to myself through the information field code. And we can code supplements. We can even code pharmaceuticals. With the SC5, we can even replicate. Let's say you have a Spirazan tablet, and you want to replicate that in a glass of water. You put the tablet on the input plate, the glass of water on the output plate, and you do a replication where it takes the information fields out of the supplement and puts them into the water. Now, if you let your imagination go a little wild, you realize you can take any information field and transfer it to any other substance or thing there is. And when you get done thinking about that 3 weeks from now, you'll realize that the whole world will change dramatically. We can take copper and we can make that information field attached to wood.
I am processing this as you go here. This is a concept that I've not heard anybody else talk about before. because we're kind of moving out of the wellness area here into broader applications that, as you said, it's going to take some time to even process exactly what that means.
A lot of practitioners out there are looking for ways to help their clients. And so I am a dealer for the SE5, and I provide these for different people. And I teach them how to use these devices. But even if I lived to 90, I couldn't teach them all the uses. It's just that wide, because you can take any information field and transfer it to any other information field. I'll give you an example. There was a guy who was trying to balance an orchard, you know, and we have agricultural balancing programs. And let's say you had a whole field of tomatoes. You could treat the whole group of them at the same time. However, if you had an orchard, which this poor guy did, of different kinds of fruit, you have to transfer each, you have to balance each tree at a time by itself. He tried to balance the whole orchard. The information fields got mixed between all those different fruits, and the fruit came out all different in all the trees. So you have certain rules you have to obey. So you have to be careful what you're doing with this. So when you're working on the health issues, it's pretty simple. We've got loads of fields for all kinds of different fields all through the body. Everything you can imagine, nerves and bones and tissue. All those fields that surround them, we can work on those. And when you do agricultural stuff, just do it one plant type at a time, and you'll be in dandy shape. And it works really well. They've gotten phenomenal fruit and vegetable growth from it because it enhances it. And you can treat the soil. There are soil treatment programs built into it. You can treat the water. You can take water that's polluted. Let's say it's got, you know, a bunch of estrogens in there, and maybe, you know, somebody's been dropping pharmaceuticals down the toilet. They've got aquifer.
How about the problems we now face here in our own state over the runoff from fracking?
That's what I'm going to get into next.
Okay.
I've already got a process for that. That was one of the first uses I decided to work on for it. But you can take that water sample. Now, if you know what the components of it are, you simply go into the database, pick out the components, and you put them into what we call a session. You pick out the different programs you want to run, and then you can basically reverse them so that they make that compound inactive. It's just like what we do with the gas technologies right now. We have an emissions hologram that we're improving right now. And basically what it does is it takes vehicle fuel and we put the hologram on the tank. It treats the tank. And what happens is after a few minutes of running or idling, your idle drops down. You start using a little less fuel because your emissions have gone down to nothing because we destroyed all the particulates that were coming out of it. And we did that by working on the actual frequency or the rate code for that particulate and inverting it. So it destroyed itself. And as a result, you get a little better gas mileage. Some people between 10 and 20%. So it's a tremendous technology, and I will have that one up shortly as well. We have an initial one that we've tested and have gotten some good results, but we're trying to fine-tune that so we can get a little better results out of it. Now, let's go to the fracking. So let's take the water example that I told you about. We've got a couple of compounds in the water that are nasty. So you get a list of chemicals that are in the fracking, and it's like 500 or something, I think. So you get a list of those, and you code the reverse of that into the hologram. And you toss a few of those down your well. Now you've treated your well, and you inactivate those compounds when they hit your aquifer water. And if the channel that leached in from can be followed energetically, guess what happens? You're reversing that all the way back.
Now, explain again what it is you're putting down your well.
It's been programmed. You take a hologram. If you looked at a credit card or your driver's license, you see a little symbol on there that has a reflection to it. That's the hologram. Holograms are made out of usually metals. And a lot of it happens to be a crystalline metal ink. And they print these down into the substrate, sometimes in layers. And as we all know, crystals store information. So yes. That's what we imprint our codes onto using the SE5, which is a hologram programming unit. It can actually print, you know, one code, two codes, 10, 100 codes, and it can do a whole roll of holograms, all the same kind if you want. And the difference between people who are selling holograms that aren't really understanding what's going on is they'll code them for like 15, 20 seconds at a time, and then they'll check them to make sure they stored the code and held it. And then they go and put them on somebody's gas tank, and lo and behold, they get results. And 2 weeks later, they don't. And it's because they didn't code it long enough to make it last. And a lot of them do it on purpose, which is pretty slimy, but, you know, it is what it is. So the guys I work with, I make sure that they know to code it longer. And a really good coding for a hologram is a day and a half.
So basically, you're energetically inputting data into a holographic field and then using that holographic field to deploy the energy, the frequencies, to the particular solution.
Right. Think of it this way. If you've got a group of fields that are in your 17,000 field code database, and you've got, let's say, 20 or 100 codes you want to take, and you load them into a program, and then you put a hologram on the output plate, or you put the output cable around it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you run your program, and it will take those codes for those fields of information, and it will imprint those codes into the hologram's matrix. It will store them there. Then when you take the hologram and you throw that into the water or wherever you're going to put it, those codes will continue transmitting into that medium for a very long period of time. And that all depends on how long you code it. Now, typically, you're looking at 8 months to a year and a half. That's on a normal coding. But you can probably code these things for more periods of time than that. I probably will not do codes for more than a year, only because a lot of the commercial contracts are 1 year in length.
Mm-hmm,
granted, the hologram is going to last longer than that, but our contracts will only have guarantees of coding for a year.
In about a half a second, this begins to feel an awful lot like Star Trek as I'm letting this kind of riff through my brain, and it goes in very strange places. But it feels to me like, Jeff, this is like a limitless technology when you really begin to look at it at base level. I'm wondering how closely this parallels some of the work and research that's being done right now in the field of what we call free or zero point energy. How close does this fly to the field of getting us closer to energy and independence?
I believe that this is going to crack it. Now, the reason I say that is because there are a group of people working on it right now. I remember Tom Bearden, before
yes.
he was a little ill, he ran a video, and I think it was the U.S. Psychotronics Association meeting he was at, and this was like years ago.
Yes.
And I had a copy of that YouTube video, and when I started talking about it on the radio, they took it down. I thought it was very interesting. The bad news for them is I recorded that before they took it down. Now, he went over how they were using this and discussed how they were using this to get zero-point energy out. And there's a couple of sections in there where he details the device. He doesn't tell you the secrets behind it because, you know, obviously they're trying to make a million off it or something. I'm of the opinion, give that crap away. Jeez. You know, if you want it to get out there without you getting murdered right away, the only way to do that is to get it in the hands of Anonymous and a couple other folks.
Open source it, put it out there,
get
put it
out.
Into the system. Yeah.
And just say, look, if you like what I did and it saves you money, send me $3. You know, you don't have to get greedy. And whatever, whoever sends it to you, great. And if they don't, they don't. Some of them send you 5 or 10 probably because you saved them thousands. But the bottom line is you get a couple of million people that send you $3. Come on, how much money do you need?
About $3 million.
You see my point? I mean, you know, how much more do you have to live comfortably?
Well, no. The value of this, well, first off, you go into a lot of ancillary issues, something that I have conversations with people that I work with in the global energy movement. Anything like this is a game changer because it literally destroys overnight the present economic system. So,
which needs destroying.
Which needs destroying. It's imploding upon itself. It's basically a diseased body collapsing in, and unfortunately it's taking down every healthy cell around it right now, to just kind of continue our metaphor here. But the idea that this is a seed into liberating people, not only from disease, but from this current stranglehold we have, is to me the most profound nugget that I can walk away with, because I'm very interested in the healing aspect of it. I get that. Our diseases, and I think you'll agree with me, the diseases that we have in our bodies are a mirror, a reflection of the diseases we have as a result of the psychosis in our culture.
And a lot of the issues that we have physically come from emotional input or psychological input, because they literally manifest in the physical body. So a lot of that comes from the disease culture and from the psychological impacts of a disease society. That's it. You know, I don't work on the free energy aspects with the radionics because, frankly, my plates that aren't full, it's stupid. But, you know, there are many people out there that are going to get these units from me, and they're going to go to work on it, and somebody's going to crack it. I only hope they got the smarts to put it out for free widely before they get whacked. Because the history has been, if you come out with it and try to make yourself a multi-billionaire, you will get shut down or whacked. They did it to Stan Meyer and a dozen other guys.
I've got a whole list of them. Here's the thing. One of the things that you told me in a conversation was the frequencies for the frequencies developed by Royal Raymond Rife, going back into what, the 1920s, the 1930s, the Rife generator. And when you told me that those frequencies were in the database of this unit, the SE-5-1000, I pondered on that for a while, and then I kind of flashed back to the story of what happened to Rife as a result of basically holding out to humanity the hope for energetic healing at a time before the medical establishment had congealed into this monster system that it is now. And even then, using the AMA, the court system, and the bagmen for the New World Order, they were able to totally destroy Royal Raymond Rife, shut down his laboratory and his operations, and remove demonstrated, provably successful technology from the marketplace so that they could put Big Pharma in the place that it presently is today. So, having said that, I'm asking you, is it possible to market these kind of systems today and not have a similar fate, not just to you personally, but I'm talking about anybody who's utilizing this type of technology?
All right. Right now, there are several 100,000 systems worldwide operating on radionics and scalar radionics. There's so many deployed they can't stop it. There's no way. What they don't want to have happen is some really enterprising, clear-thinking individual to come up with a paradigm changer that will ruin or upset their financial model anytime too soon. They know it's going to happen sooner or later, but they're going to keep controlling it as long as they can. And, you know, I can understand that they're going to still be like a dying beast. It's going to keep flailing around
there
for a while.
Pissed off and going down with its last breath, killing.
But the thing is that the more people have these devices, the more we can amplify the effect of consciousness. And this is one of the reasons why it's such an important technology for the world today, because this is a true game changer. Remember I told you I was an unhandled operative when I was in, and I was looking for a game changer because I had contemplating doing some wet work and just going out to the heads of the organizations and just capping them.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is you're talking about millions of people. You know, everybody says it's 1%. Well, they're full of crap. They don't realize that these people are a lot bigger than 1%, and their minions, whether they are knowing or unknowing, are huge. Every church, every public meeting group, you know, no matter who it is, your local Masons, your Rosicrucians, your Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, real bad guys,
yeah.
Your local Rotary Club, your local this club or that club, they all have people in it that basically are snitching to the NWO, and this passes up the line to the Jesuits and the Knights of Malta and the control structures that are above all of it that run the governments, the militaries, and everything else. So nothing happening at a local level isn't known. They just pass the data up, and different mid-level and low-level managers analyze the data, decide if somebody needs to be acted upon, and if they do, they do. You know, if you're a businessman going into a community and you're not playing ball, or worse yet, if you're a politician and you don't play ball, you're never going to get anywhere. They will find ways of rigging the ballot. It's so easy today, it's stupid, now that with the electronic ballot systems. They've been hacked, they've been exposed, we all know it's fraud. So it doesn't matter who you are. People know what's going on if you join a group. So the only groups you really should join are your neighbors. Spend your time with some neighbors, learning to get to know them, finding out if any of them are like-minded. Those are the people you want to hang out with, is like-minded individuals, not groups of people who aren't like-minded with you and don't really know what's going on out there. You can wake up others one at a time, but you're not going to influence a whole group, and your activities will get known very quickly, and you'll get labeled, and then you wind up having to deal with maybe a foreclosure on your house a little early, or not getting that
car. Being audited by the IRS.
Yeah, the IRS. Yeah. You know, they got a million agencies to badger you. So the big deal is what you're going to do. How many waves are you going to make? Make them quietly.
I think a lot of what's happening is happening grassroots organically now. And it's happening through conducts of media that were unexpected. I've been using computers as long as there's been computers. I've been on the internet before there was internet. I know you probably remember UUNet and the Usenet groups that populated what was the early model, dial-up,
CBS,
baby, that's what it was. And I think this technology, while very tightly controlled, and obviously still very tightly controlled, has been a surprise for them in a lot of ways. Not so much the technology, but how it's been deployed, and the fact that communities have been able to flourish and develop on these channels, so to speak. And that's what's happening today, is that we are beginning to see this dynamic begin to snowball. I don't know what your take is. I'm watching people in average, everyday life situations who are starting to show signs of waking up. They're not quite there yet, but at the same time, it looks to me like they are asking questions, and that's the first step to waking up, much like what you were talking about working with communities. So your technology deployed the way you're using it, which is completely a benevolent outreach, an attempt to address real-world issues, and yet at the same time, there's kind of a subversive side to it, but it's not threatening in a direct way. Do you see this being a model for the way we change things, that we shift them very subtly?
Yes and no. First of all, this device has been called, one fellow called it do-it-yourself MK Ultra. Now, what he meant by that is remember I told you we got 10 pages of psychological codes we can use?
Yeah.
Well, you can transfer that to any human being on the planet, can't you?
Yes.
So let's say you didn't like what Henry Kissinger was thinking and doing. You could remotely influence Henry. So instead of them doing an MKUltra on you, you do an MKUltra on them. All the while maintaining a separation and setting up a barrier between you so that you don't get any kickback, keeping negative energies off of you. You can literally use this as a counterintelligence weapon of unbelievable parallel. And so it's possible to do that. And it's one of those things where everything can be used. Your car can kill people and it can take people down to the store and back. Everything on the planet or off planet can be used for good or not so good. And depending on what your view of good is, will depend on what you do with it. In my estimation, if you've got a bad guy doing bad things, I'm sorry, you can't get me to feel bad about stopping his day.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And maybe what we hope for is that this technology does revert to the moral again.
Everybody gets there sooner or later. Now, granted, you would say to me, yeah, well, what about those clowns in the control structures? Well, those are people, when we look at the planet, we look at everybody as being here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know we're here learning lessons. And as we go through life, we learn a few more lessons as we go, and we learn a little more. Well, for the bad guys, maybe their lesson is to be a bad guy, so the next trip through, they don't actually act that way. You remember the movie Cloud Atlas?
Just saw it a couple of weeks ago. Watched it twice.
Yeah, phenomenal stuff. So if you look at your incarnations, you know, one of them, you may be an absolute unbelievable bad guy. You might be a Rockefeller. You might be a Rothschild. You might be a DuPont. You might be somebody running Monsanto or the FDA. You know, there's loads of them. You know, the Orsini family, the Breakspears, the Borgias, all these different families. So, you know, you could be one of them. But the next one, you might be a Mother Teresa. You might be a Gandhi. You might be a this or a that. You know, nothing but peace, nothing but love. Yeah, you're going to get stomped on and trodden on because you're going to learn that that's not the only way either. But you'll get to the point where you have a balance. And I think that's the reason why I got drawn to the SE5. It's really the ultimate machine for balance. You know, when you look at the supplement world, everybody basically says, oh, I need more of this, I need more of that. You know, and they're trying to load up or megadose on
things. Oh, no, I've been through these syndromes myself over the years. I mean, I've done the whole thing of going with the latest trendy new nutritional supplements and vitamins. Some of it has been wonderful, and I've learned along the way. But one of the things that I've learned is that it's very difficult to maintain with everything shifts all the time, so we're constantly trying new things. And yes, unfortunately, there are unscrupulous marketers out there.
Yeah, basically, we now have the supplement of the month going on, where if you look at Dr. Oz and a lot of these different shows, you know, they're putting out the latest new supplement and touting it. You know, it's been proven to do this, proven to do that. Look at all these people that got healed. When in fact, we all know that your body requires a full complement of vitamins, a full complement of amino acids, a full complement of minerals. And these are just your basics. Then you got antioxidants and the rest. And the reason you need the full complement is one particular vitamin might take two other vitamins and a mineral in order for it to work properly in your system. So if you don't dose all of them, you won't have the balance needed. So what I do when I pick out nutrients, like Spiruzan, I pick out ones that have a big enough, wide enough spread that I can just take those and not have to worry about every other supplement of the day. If I want to try something later, great. But just when you cross-section the whole population, you can take any supplement on the market, one single isolated nutrient, and you can give it to that entire population, and at least a few of them will have miracle cures of death-defying illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
That just happened to be the one thing that that system needed. But for the other 15 million people that tested it, they didn't get squat. So that's where a lot of these things come from and why the supplement of the day game is not good.
As we kind of wrap up, I want to focus a little bit. You seem to have a pretty comprehensive way of working with your technology, with your background, and the different nutrients and vitamins and things that you have at your hand. How do people come to you? How do you work with them in terms of addressing very specific health needs? We have modern-day immunological diseases, the names I can't pronounce anymore, but I've had, and it seems to be not completely exclusive, but a lot of females seem to be experiencing specifically these, I call them immunological disorders that have been surfacing, I guess, for the last 15 years or so. People who are experiencing severe health problems in any area, how do you work with them? What do you do for them? How do you deploy these different technologies?
Sure. Especially with women, there's a lot of UTI infections that are not clearing well these days. Now, in the database for the SE5...
What is a UTI infection again?
Oh, urinary tract infection.
Okay.
And it's because they have different bacteria down in their urinary tract and their vagina than men do.
Mm-hmm.
So they get different kinds of infections. Plus, you know, the length of the tubes are different in a woman than they are in a guy. So, of course,
sure,
some will be bound to infection and more so than guys are. We don't have that kind of an issue. We're more of a straight shot.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What we do is we have, the SE5 has a whole host of infectious diseases and viral forms and bacterial forms that we can reverse. And we can take those information fields and reverse them for you. Now, that's one thing. We also have just about everything you can imagine, thyroid, gallbladder, cecum, colon. We can go into the thymus, the hypothalamus, the brain parts, the different regions, the eyeball, the ears, the nose, the throat, everything. We can look at all those different systems, and we have codes for them. So we can analyze and see how far out you are, or we can just take a broad spectrum of them and balance them all. And what I do with some of the holograms I'm generating for people is I'm taking, just like I did with nutrition, I'm taking a broad spectrum of balancing stuff. Like I'll take the regulatory systems, and then I'll add in some really good support stuff for nutritional balance, like vitamins and minerals and amino acids. And I'll put all that together in a group. And then I'll add to that maybe some anti-infection stuff, some anti-cold and flu or rhinitis, all kinds of things so that people can get some balance. One of my next codes I'm going to put up, or holograms, is going to be for basically infections and viral issues. I want to make sure that diabetics have some help and assistance with their information fields.
Yes.
So all of this I can do. And when somebody comes to me and wants custom work done or analysis, which I'll be starting in about a week, it's $150 for the session. It takes about 1 to 3 hours for me to analyze that. And then I do an overnight balance, and I usually then, if they want a hologram so that they can always wear it and stay clear, that's like $60 for that. And depending on what all's in the hologram will depend on what the cost of them are.
My word, that kind of money won't buy you 15 minutes in front of a pharmacological practitioner these days.
Yeah, it's not much time. And so I don't try and get rich off of this. I try and help off of this and still eat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As long as I can do that, I'm a happy boy.
Given where our culture is headed now with socialized health, I see that in the next few years, people are going to have to make some perhaps desperate decisions. And we have already traded so much of our freedom away for the promises of big government. I see what you're offering, and the, you know, in terms of this really comprehensive technology, a way out of this endless system. Most people think that big pharma and board-certified MDs belonging to the American Medical Association can cure. It's a tricky term. Do you talk about cures? Do you talk about treatment? Or how do you view, even semantically, the process of addressing these human needs?
There's a statement on my website. I can't remember which page it has. But it simply states on there that there is no medical doctor, no naturopath, no pharmaceutical, no supplement, no anything that will heal or cure the human body. The best we can do is give it what it needs to do its own healing. Your body is designed to regenerate and heal all by itself. The fact is, and I just did an article in Science to Sage magazine you can read. It's up there with Bruce Lipton's article. Basically, it goes into DNA repair, but it talks about what's going on. And the electromotive force, or EMF pollution, that we walk through from
cells,
it doesn't just damage your system, which is proven. It weakens the immune system. And somebody that's already got a weakened immune system, like a diabetic or somebody else, it really runs you into a full-blown chronic state. And nobody's talking about it because the cell phone companies pay billions a year to make sure nobody gets it into the press. But the data is all over Europe. It's all over the United States. And I've got articles on it. It's no big deal. But these people have vested interests. Well, you know, you got Verizon, they're the porn kings. So, you know, a little damage to the body. They probably have some big money in the pharmaceutical companies. So who knows? But if you look at all the different disease things that are out there between the tainted vaccines and the poisoned water supplies like up here in the aquifers and things, and the food supplies from Monsanto being tainted and poisoned, we have a problem that we have to deal with. And so I was looking for a game changer, and I found one. We are going to, in the next few months, identify the bacteria in the gut that is caused by GMOs, and we are going to inactivate it like we inactivate all the other bacteria with it. So instead of taking something like lauricidin to wipe it out, you may want to just have a hologram and use it. Or you may want to use them both. Who knows? But the point is we're going to be able to knock out the infectious diseases by using the information field of the infection disease to attack it. And we can do this with so many things. There's no reason we can't reverse some of this. I do want to caution you about one scam that I see out there. There are some companies that are pretty unscrupulous making holograms. And they are telling people that they can stop the cell phone radiation. Now, here's the bad news and the good news. Yes, they can affect the low frequency radiation coming out of a cell phone. Mm-hmm. That they can do. We all do it with our holograms. In fact, that's going to be part of my Vitality hologram, is to put it in so you don't get dosed by that crud. And the problem is the ionizing high-frequency microwaves coming out of it. That stuff, we have not got any way to stop it yet. Now, Don and I are working on it right now, trying to come up with a theory on how to do it. And when we do, we'll get it out there. But until then, nobody has a hologram that stops ionizing radiation from a cell phone.
That's excellent caution, because there are, and especially with the internet now, almost anybody can claim anything, do it with impunity, collect a lot of money, take their website down, disappear, boom, they're gone overnight. Consumer scams, unfortunately, have blossomed because of this very rapid form of communication we have. Jeff, One more thing that popped up as we were talking, and we talked a lot about a lot of things that we can treat holographically. I deal a lot with people who are coming out of different traumatic situations. If you hear my show, I talk a lot about people who have been in, and I'm sorry, we've got a jet flying overhead. People who have come out of government black ops programs like MKUltra, Artichoke, Monarch, and people who have experienced ET abduction scenarios. Many of these people are in deep stress. Some of them have been traumatized since early childhood, and they are dealing with the effects of that in middle age and later. Can this technology help people to overcome post-traumatic stress, DID, and all the associated disorders that come with these type of trauma programs?
Do it yourself, MK Ultra. We can actually undo a lot of that stuff because we have a huge psychological field database that we can operate from. And we're going from everything from hatred to depression to this to that, the other thing. They all have a field of information. Depression has a field of information.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most people don't get. Everything you can think of, every word you use, every particle, every cell has a field around it that's associated with it. All we do is we go to the field, which is the ultimate controller anyway, and we go ahead and we modify it. Now, having said that, like autism, they found that there is an autism virus out there. And it was a guy who ran the SE5 program out in the Midwest, a guy named, I think it was Rick Hunt. And he found this this virus for autism. And what they found was, is it gets passed down from the parents to the children. Boys get it in the womb, right in their brain. Girls get it in their reproductive system. And later on in years, it migrates up to the brain. And sometimes it stays recessive. And sometimes it becomes dominant. And then when it does, it expresses all these symptoms. Well, what they found is it cleared up in the parents before they procreate, and the children don't get it. If they do get it passed on and it's recessive and the gene's not presenting itself, what will happen is when they get vaccinated, it can create the vaccine creates enough trauma to activate that virus, and boom, off you go into autism world. So we now have a way to combat things like that. So there's much hope for just about everything that's out there by taking the field of information for a virus form and reversing it. And sometimes you're looking at 3 to 6 months to get the effects you're after. But you keep wearing that patch or that hologram, and you will get where you're going as long as they formulated it with all the things that you want to put in there to solve the problem, which is why many practitioners in Europe, they put maybe 5 or 6 or 7 codes in there. I'm going to have a dozen or more in every hologram I've got because I want to make sure all the baseline and regulatory stuff is covered and then all the neat goodies that you actually paid for.
I don't think we have enough time in this interview tonight to go through all of the things that are jamming through my head right now. But, Jeff, you've done a great job of presenting a lot of information, especially in the second segment. Related to the radionics and the hologram healing and the technology that you are both deploying now and developing as well, along with some of the people you work with. So one more time as we back out of this interview, let people know where they can find you and how you're willing to work with them.
Sure. My website is www.jefftech.net. That's jefftech.net with only one F in Jeff. My phone number, and I prefer phone calls to email, is 570-219-2025. And the SE5 for practitioners, you're looking at a few grand, so it's not something you buy on a weekend. But there is a technology that will allow you to use hologram cards that are pre-programmed. It's only like, I don't know, $700 or something like that, that individual people can get and use the hologram cards to work on things for themselves. And, of course, they are on my website as well. It's called the Chi-O or Chi Organizer. If you look at what we have a slew of supplements that are beneficial. They're almost all whole food. And the two things that I'm most proud of are the spore biotic for repairing that damage from, you know, a lot of the antibiotic attacks, and the spirozyme, because it gives you a baseline of nutrition so that you can actually move through your day without spending a fortune on the stuff. And when I get a little further along, we will have whole groups of supplement holograms, so you buy one hologram and you're dosed with all that stuff continuously.
Wow, that's quite amazing. And I would suggest that those of you who get this on the podcast, go back through it a few times and really review the information, because it's very dense. Jeff Harvey, thanks for joining us tonight on Off Planet Radio for this interview.
My pleasure, Randy, and thanks for doing what you do.
And that's going to close it. And I'm going to jump in here live for a minute just to add some information to Jeff's conversation. We had an addendum on the show, and it had to do with some thoughts Jeff had after we had shut the recorders off. So this last segment here is an addendum regarding the use of holograms in direct sunlight.
But you're working on a crystal matrix, so they are sensitive to X-rays. So when you're out in the sun, let's say you take your hologram and you have it mounted in a pendulum or a pendant, mm-hmm. and you proudly wear it because it's got a nice design on it, and you're on the outside of your shirt. If you get out in bright sunlight, tuck it inside your shirt, because X-rays can, long-term exposure to sunlight can generate enough X-rays to corrupt the codes in it, and you don't want to do that. And also, when you go through a scanner at an airport, normally when you go through, there's no damage because you're in and you're out pretty quick. But what if they stop the conveyor while they search somebody's baggage at the end of the conveyor and yours is sitting there in the X-rays?
Mm-hmm.
You could wind up getting it dosed. So there are ways to solve that, but what I suggest is when you go to the airport, make sure you do a handover. Put it in a little thing, say, look, this is damaged by X-rays. Would you do a quick scan with your hand wand there and make sure it's not a nasty thing? And you just hand it to the guy through the booth, and he'll take it over there for you, and you can save yourself that way. But if for some reason during that year warranty period the codes on this thing become corrupted because it got hit with X-rays or something, just simply ship it back to us and we will recode it for you. So it's not an issue. We'll be happy to help out.
Thanks, Jeff. Important stuff. And that's going to wrap it up for this week. My thanks to Jeff Harvey for coming in on the chat for what was basically a semi-live show tonight. Our best wishes, hopes, and prayers to Ken Pfeiffer and his family right now as they go through what is apparently a difficult time. We will be back next week, August 14th. Chris Holly will be with me, and Richard Palmisano of the Searcher Group will be here, and we're going to talk extreme paranormal. This is Off Planet Radio Live. I'm Randy Moggins, and that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Peace.
This is Off Planet Radio.